Hello, welcome to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And we're continuing in our Grace and Faith series. Before I go on, I just wanted to remind you that if you were to go to my website, which is PastorVicsNuggets.com, you would be able to download this video or just the audio portion of the video or even just the text material. And this would be for your own use, for your own use in preparing materials or just going deeper into the Word of God. Now, over the last number of weeks, I've been looking at something that we've been calling the Great Exchange. And the Great Exchange represents a transaction that took place through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. As a result, there was established a new covenant, which was ushered in by Jesus Christ our Lord. There are specific weaknesses that Jesus took upon himself in exchange for his strength that he's made available to us. He's taken our weaknesses and given us his strength. The exchange is characteristic of all covenants. The most powerful one exchanges gifts with the weaker one. And of course, that would be us. Jesus is more powerful. He gives us gifts. Now, just as a review, let's look at what is made available to us. In post 80, we said that Jesus took our sin and gave us forgiveness. In post 81, we talked about Jesus taking our death that we might have his life. In post 82, Jesus experienced hell that we might experience heaven. In post 83, Jesus took our lost and homeless condition and gave us an eternal home. And in post 84 and 85, we said that Jesus took our weaknesses and gave us strength or power. Today, we want to talk about the exchange that Jesus gave us in terms of authority. Jesus took our lack of authority and gave us his authority. The scriptures say, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." That was Luke 10:19. Now, I want to make it clear that when we talk about serpents and scorpions, these are a symbolic of demonic forces, not literal serpents and scorpions, but the demonic realm. Now, what does it mean that Jesus has given us authority? Well, the word authority in this verse is the Greek word exousia. Now, both dynamis and exousia are translated as power in the New Testament. From our last episode, we know that dynamis means miracle-working power, explosive power. We said that that's where the word dynamite comes from, dynamis. And of course, that's made available through his Holy Spirit, and we saw that in Acts 1:9. Exousia is power also, and it comes from God, and it is a supernatural boldness or a sense of the right to give orders, to make decisions, and enforce obedience. As believers, we have the ability, we have the authority to act as a representative of Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors of Christ. Therefore, we operate on his behalf. We are empowered to be ambassadors for Christ because we are citizens of heaven and the kingdom of God is in us. That's Philippians 3:20. Now, just remember, in a natural sense, the ambassador represents the country and they speak for their president, their king, or their ruler. So in the same spiritual sense, we are, as ambassadors for Christ, we speak for our king, King Jesus, and we can speak with authority and boldness. Knowing we have his authority, in fact, gives us boldness. There's a strong correlation or connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and courage. Now, remember, being filled means to be influenced or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians 5:18 states that we're not to be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Just as too much wine can cause boldness, and you see that in people. People, they drink too much and all of a sudden they do strange and crazy things. things that they would never think of doing. But see, being filled with the Holy Spirit produces a similar kind of boldness, but it's a boldness to represent Jesus Christ. The idea of being committed to represent God reminds me of an old story I heard called Moody's Monopoly. Now, the word monopoly means to have total control over something. So here it goes. A committee of ministers in a certain city was discussing the possibility of having D.L. Moody. Now, you may have heard of him. He was a famous 19th century evangelist. And they were thinking about having him serve as the evangelist during a citywide evangelistic campaign. Finally, one of the young ministers who didn't really want to invite Moody stood up and said, "Why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And then there was a silence. Then an old godly minister stood up and said, "No, he doesn't have a monopoly of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly of D.L. Moody." Do you see it? Moody was submitted and yielded to the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the truest sense of the word. He was a true ambassador of Christ because he knew that he was a citizen of heaven. And the true meaning of spiritual authority is to boldly proclaim the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 3, you may recall that Peter and John healed a man in the name of Jesus by the gate Beautiful. Then in Acts chapter 4, we see that this miracle created quite a stir in the city. As a matter of fact, it led many to believe in Jesus because they saw the miracle, and it caused others to resist him. The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, they came upon Peter and John, and they were disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, we know that's true. But as a result of that teaching, they were thrown in jail. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, what authority, or by what name have you done this?'" I don't know about you, but in the face of such an intimidating, of all these intimidating leaders, I'm not sure what I would have said, but I'll tell you what Peter said in verse 8. And then it says, "Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," in plain language, Peter surrendered to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and spoke with authority. He didn't worry about what man would say or do. He only cared about obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit in his life. Now, this act would be seen as boldness or authority by others. In verse 13, the scriptures say, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. You see, don't put yourself down because of maybe your lack of education or your lack of ability to speak in a very stylized way or in a very interesting way. Because when the Holy Spirit has you, then the Holy Spirit will use you to touch the lives of others. Now, of course, the religious leaders at that time tried to figure out what to do with Peter. And they decided in verse 18 that they told Peter and John that they were not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." Then verse 20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You see, that's all you and I are called to do, to be a witness to Jesus. In other words, to speak what you have heard, seen, or know in the Spirit. I know it isn't easy being a Christian who's not ashamed of their faith. There'll be times, though, when we're challenged and tested. When we face these kinds of difficulties, we are to stir up the Holy Spirit that's in us, remembering the words of Peter found in verse 29. And Peter said, "Now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And then verse 31 goes on and says, "And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness, with authority." You see, here's the conclusion that each one of us has to face. Do you have the Holy Spirit, or does the Holy Spirit have you? Finally, keep your focus on what is essential. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out 70 followers with instructions, in particular, to heal the sick in body, soul, and spirit. And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Luke writes, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, sickness, disease, fear, depression, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.'" But then Jesus says something interesting. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now I pray that as you go forth from this day and encounter situations in your life, that boldness will be stirred up in your life. God wants you to walk in His authority. You see, if you walk in your own authority, you can only go so far. But when you walk in the authority and the boldness that God has given you, then there are no limits to how God can use you. You see, it all boils down to the question, do you have the Holy Spirit, or does the Holy Spirit have you? And I pray that as this week goes on, that you will learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. And you, I promise, will see wondrous things take place. God bless you. And again, I look forward to seeing you the next time. And listen, God is with you. Just receive what He has purchased on the cross of Calvary for you. Amen.